Hey, it's Tim and Lisa, and you're listening to the REI Concierge podcast. The REI Concierge helps Americans living abroad find and buy great investment properties in the U.S. From analyzing markets to finding local partners to closing your first deal, we're partnered with you every step of the way. Let's jump in to today's episode.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the REI Concierge podcast with Tim and Lisa. Post-Thanksgiving, Tim, how are you?
I am full and fully satiated, Lisa. How are you? Well, I just want, we were briefly in the same time zone. it was delightful, but my nomadic partner is now in Burundi. And
Burundi, like, Lisa, East Africa.
Why is it dark in the background? Know. I was like, oh yeah, you're not in Nashville anymore.
Yeah. My post-Thanksgiving trip took only 30 hours from leaving my home to arriving at my hotel.
Not too bad. Not too bad.
Not too bad. Yeah, no, I'm so jet lagged. I'm gonna just turn it over to you and let you talk. This is 25 minutes.
But this was different for you, because this is the first time you and John have been back for Thanksgiving in over a decade, right? So how was all the grub in American soil?
It was lovely. We had Thanksgiving with John's brother and his family in Nashville, and all the plans came together kind of at the last minute, and we did the non-traditional Thanksgiving. We had some traditional dishes, but we didn't have a turkey. So
controversial.
Yeah, it is controversial. I will tell you, we analyzed a bunch of different recipes on one of those, alternatives to turkey for Thanksgiving blogs that people write. And we made a pork loin that was cooked in mushrooms and wine, like a mushroom and wine sauce. And I have never cooked a pork loin before. And I have to say, when we first chose the recipe, I kind of just assumed I would let John cook, but then he got sick. So I cooked it, and it was really good. It was my first time for cooking a pork loin. I was proud of myself.
Good job. You saved Thanksgiving.
I saved Thanksgiving. So that's my Thanksgiving story. And now we're moving into Christmas, which is your favorite holiday.
It is. I'm very excited. We went out and cut the tree down with the boys yesterday. It was a delightful afternoon. Put it up last night with all the decorations. And it's fun putting up the decorations, the ornaments, because they're generational. Like, I have stuff from my grandmother, and like Adam has stuff from when he was a baby, and I have stuff from when I was a kid, and it's just really cool. It was great. My house is fully festive and smells of evergreens, and that's just my favorite time of the year. Everything is right with the universe.
That's fantastic. I see your Christmas decorations up in the background too.
Oh yeah. Those are my grandmother's. So both of those are from
my grandma.
They're made out of maybe Pringles cans. I can't tell what's under the wrapping, but they're Pringles shaped, and they have little Mr. and Mrs. Santa Claus in there kissing under some mistletoe.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Very
they're
cool.
Fully kitschy, and I love them.
It's nice to have things that have been passed down from grandparents.
It is. Yes. So today, what should we talk about, Lisa? Should we talk about some real estate news?
I'm curious. Yeah. How's the progress on moving towards the flip that you and Brian are doing? What are the updates? And you're seeing more of the frontline updates in your real estate agent life and work. So yeah, hit us with some updates, Tim.
Updates. All right. Lisa's going to go take a nap with her jet lag, and I'll talk about some updates.
I'll mute myself so you can't hear my snoring. Right.
No, I think, there's a lot of updates. So the market, cyclically this time of year, things tend to be really, really slow. Not to mention the fact that, rates peaked over 8%. They're coming down a little bit now on primaries, much less investments. But what I found super interesting is, we had John Clark on here a couple of times, the magic man, as we dubbed him.
Yeah.
And Brian and I are looking to work with him for a purchase price plus renovation loan for our first flip here in Hyattsville, Maryland. Cool. We have not won yet. Maybe during this interview, we will find out that we won our first flip. That'd be kind of cool. But
ooh,
it's an REO property. Yeah. So for those of you that don't know, REO is real estate owned. It means that the bank has officially foreclosed on this asset. They tried to auction it off. No one bought it. And now it is back on their books as a real estate owned asset owned by the bank. It's an interesting asset class because there is zero emotion involved. So banks do not care about, you know, highest and best. They do care about highest and best, but there is no emotion. There is no inspection. There is no, you know, negotiating. And I can see my family living here. They don't care. They are a faceless organization. And I kind of like that. Because like clockwork, on day 31, on day 61, on day 91, they will go into the back office and they will crunch some numbers and they will drop that price significantly. Like clockwork. So they try to get the most for it, and you know, it goes online to the general public on the MLS as high as they can possibly get. No one buys it. On day 31, they'll drop it $25,000-$30,000. If no one buys it again, on day 61, they'll drop it $25,000-$30,000. So we caught it on day 91. I saw it drop by $24,000. And I said, okay, we will offer $20,000 less than that. Just try to stay ahead of the curve, because if no one buys it, then you know, you're going to have to drop it again. And this is just a little, you know, for folks that are interested in flips or even finding deals that are not turnkey, if you want to put a lot of work into it or even a little bit of work, if you can find real estate owned assets, it's a good thing to learn. It's a totally different ballgame than working with just a quote unquote regular listing agent. I had to submit an offer online. You know, me being a licensed realtor, I wrote up the contract. I uploaded it to the portal. I put our pre-approval letter in there and stuff like that. And now we've been waiting for 9 days. So it's annoying. And this, I've done real estate owned before. This is typical. You know, it is really dealing with the machine, and they are putting it back to the folks, the underwriters at the bank. And they're saying, okay, do these dollars and cents make sense? Do we think this person is going to be able to close? And if so, we'll win the bid. And if not, then they'll either drop it again, ask us for highest and best again. The list goes on. So it's a long process. So you have to be patient. And typically people that are bidding on real estate owned properties will put out a couple bids because it takes so long. And you know, if and when you win one, you can pull the other bids. So we're going to start pursuing that. Anyway, long story short, I mean, I think that is interesting tips and tricks for folks that are looking. But at the same time, what I wanted to talk about was we put in our application with John the Magic Man over at Loan Solutions Providers. And I have received no less than 500 calls, literally no less than 500 calls. Because I am not on the do not call list for lenders that buy these credit inquiries. So essentially, for those of you that have not gotten a loan yet, if and when you put in an application for a loan, for a mortgage, they will check your credit. They want to make sure you're a reputable borrower and you can actually pay back the mortgage. So when you do that, there are folks that buy lists of people that even inquire for anything credit related. And you do have to actively opt out on the do not call list for these folks. I stupidly did not do that. And I've gotten many, many loans before. And occasionally I get a handful of calls, you know, like, hey, I saw you pulled your credit on this property. And, you know, do you want to check your rates? Blah, 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 blah. No less than 500. And the first day I got over 100 phone calls that I did not answer a single one of, but I know they are lenders. They do not leave messages. They hire interns. They hire call centers overseas, and they see that you pulled your credit, and they will call you until you answer. So I say all that to say lenders are starving right now. They really are. And what I'm seeing on kind of the front lines of real estate transactions is all these tertiary businesses that are involved in real estate transactions really, really need and want business. So lenders being one, I mean, that is a thousand time increase from what I'm used to when I apply for a mortgage. And I'm saying this to say that if you are kind of sitting on the sidelines waiting to see what's shaken out with the interest rates, waiting to see what's shaken out with the overall economy, now is a great time to have some conversations. You know, we always say this is a team sport, and lenders really, really want your business right now. It's not like they can press a magic button and get you a lower rate. But, you know, if you're reading books and listening to podcasts, kind of setting your strategy for the new year, call some lenders. Or just put it out in the ether, you know, just trust me, just put it out there somewhere. You'll get plenty of calls and just have some conversations and learn the process, you know, learn what makes you a good borrower, learn what makes them a good lender. They are more than willing to hop on the phone with you now, as typically that used to be kind of Gabe's claim to fame is he was very, very busy, but he'd always take time out to answer your calls. Now lenders really, really want to talk to you. So use that to your advantage. I don't know. I've been talking for a while, Lisa, but I think that It was mind-blowing to me how many calls I got. And I'm still getting. Since we've been recording, I've gotten 4 phone calls. And this is 2+ weeks after putting in my mortgage application with John. It's nuts.
It sounds like you either are going to feel like you're a celebrity and super popular or be completely annoyed out of your skin.
I am annoyed out of my skin. I seriously cannot have a conversation. Like when I'm on the phone with a client, I get 3 or 4 calls and it is unbelievably disruptive. But you know, I'm a kind of, you know, glass is half full. How can I turn this to an advantage type guy? And I think I can turn this to an advantage by telling our listeners, talk to some lenders right now. You know, like I'm not interested because I am much more of a relationship guy and I believe in what John can do. And he is a broker and will find me the best rate and product for what we're looking to do on this flip. So I am not in need of these things right now. But folks that are just exploring options and don't have a go-to lender yet or a go-to product or know about how the process works, this is a good time to have those conversations and build those relationships. I have 500 numbers you can call. And if you want them, feel free to reach out. And they're all in Maryland. They're all Maryland numbers. Like that's what's even more crazy is that this is not nationwide. Like they're all Maryland area codes.
My guess though, Tim, is they could be all over the country, but they have their computer system that calls you from a local number.
They can do that? See, this is stuff I don't know how the world
100%.
Works. Yeah. See, this is why I need Lisa. I need more Gen Zers on my team. They can do that with the magic of phone numbers. You're probably right. They're probably from all over the Philippines and Indonesia, but they all show up at, you know, Upper Marlboro, Maryland. I'm not that smart, guys.
They can do that. I think it's really interesting what you're saying. And I really want to know how to stay off of that list.
So, me too.
How do I make sure I don't get on that list? That might be the second most important takeaway from this conversation.
Yeah, it is. John is going to send it to me. He was supposed to send it last week, but this is there's like a do not call registry where you can, you know, put in your information, get on the federal do not call list for this particular industry, and they're not allowed to call you. Yes. Also suggested.
And I also think your advice of talking to lenders is a great idea. And, you know, if you're somebody who's thinking like, well, I still don't want to just reach out to some random person, talk to Gabe, talk to Jordan, talk to John, the magic man, talk to all these people. I mean, again, like you don't have to, it doesn't have to be a stab in the dark. You can talk to the known lenders because they also, I'm sure, are going to be really happy to talk and let you know what products are available and what rates are doing and what would be possible.
Yeah. I mean, it is, it's really just a good time for education. You know, we have the market shifts remarkably quick and it shifts for a long period of time, but there are ebbs and flows in that. And I think now is a really good time as a buyer to utilize the time that folks like lenders have on their hands. You know, like they are really actively searching for business and they are really in the cycle of building relationships. So if you have that conversation, they will take the time out. I mean, you know, probably a year and a half ago at this time, like you could not get a lender on the phone for more than 5 minutes. They were so busy with refinances and investment properties and primary purchases and 50 people at a, you know, open house and all these things that they just literally didn't have time. And now they do. So, you know, use that to your advantage. Have these conversations. Say, hey, I've been thinking about this for a while, but I didn't bother to reach out because, you know, things were too busy. Now's that time. You know, have those conversations. And we're happy to introduce you to the folks that we work with. Because it's always a good time to sharpen your saw. But now, especially so, this was just, it was mind-blowing to me how many calls I've gotten. Because like I said, I have, I don't know, 9 mortgages. And I would get a handful of calls every time I applied, but hundreds, even right now, as we're recording, like I said, I've gotten several calls and it's making me, but it just shows the reality of the market that we're in.
You're going to have to get a burner phone, Tim. Do you know about those?
I am burner phones. I watch spy movies and mob movies.
You know, you're in the know.
I mean, another thing that, you know, so this is just transactionally, I'm seeing this a lot with not just lenders, but also with like appraisers, you know, inspectors. These are folks that during the chaos of last year, you could not book them. They were so booked out that like closings were taking long. They were taking over 30 days because you couldn't get an appraiser for 3 weeks. I put a property under contract this morning for an investor of mine and we're closing in 16 days because appraisers are starving. appraisers, inspectors are starving. There are people, there are inspectors doing, I see emails from inspectors with them trying to do their own marketing. I've never seen that before. You know, like I get calls from inspection services saying, hey, I see you're a successful real estate agent. Do you want to change inspect? No, I'm good. I'm good with my inspection company. But like this active pursuit of business is just showing that, you know, this is an industry that is really, really hungry right now. So I say to all my buyers, utilize that. You know, if you ever wanted to have a conversation about how inspection works, I mean, obviously talk to me as an agent, but talk to an inspector. They have time right now to talk to you. So like, it's just, you know, finding opportunities where they lie as market cycles cycle. And, you know, this is one where you can really educate yourself and utilize time for professionals that are really looking for business.
Yeah. No, and it's such a tricky time for business owners, right? Like home inspection companies who probably really build up their team over the last 2.5, 3 years. And then to have everything contract like it has, it is, it's tricky. And also, I guess, I mean, we talked about this last week, I think, but just why it's always good to keep looking and keep seeing what's available, even though headlines continue to, you know, project their dire news. You just got to keep your eyes on what's going on, keep your ear to the ground, and there's solid deals to be found even right now, even with interest rates at what they are.
There are. You just have to get creative in how you're doing it and utilize your team, you know, reach out for different options, have these conversations. And like you said, just always be looking. You know, I'm not actively looking for deals, but I see them all the time. And when I see them, I pass them on to folks or I say, oh, I'm gonna keep an eye on that little neighborhood. You know what I mean? Like these things come around. It's not like a switch has been turned off and you can't find deals. You can. You just have to do it a little differently. And maybe reevaluate what a deal means in 2023. You know, like there is not just like, this is objectively a deal. I mean, that is the case if you find a deal that's objective, but what it makes a deal in December 2023 might be very, almost always is very, very different than what makes a deal in March 2022. So, you know, you have to, it's a dynamic business and you have to adjust accordingly. And this is what we talked about a few weeks ago about pruning your portfolio. You know, like you could have gotten a property several years ago that no longer works, or you could have gotten a property several years ago that is stellar in every way. You know, you have to be able to pivot and prune and adjust and what I say, optimize, right? Optimize your current portfolio,
optimize
prime and be looking for new ways to make good investments. So I just thought, I don't know, that was really illuminating for me. It's just kind of like,
it's great.
Where I had to beg for the attention of these folks that kind of helped my industry a year and a half ago. Now they're like calling me incessantly for business, you know, and it's just like, let's think differently. You know, like let's see how we can utilize this to make us better investors. So I have those conversations.
That's fantastic. What other things are you noticing? What other updates as you look at the market and see your clients coming along?
Yeah, I think one thing I'm noticing is the willingness to put more money down. And you and I have been talking about this for years, and we say kind of tongue in cheek, anything cash flows if you put enough down. It's absolutely true. You know, like if you believe in real estate as an asset class and have decided it is something you want to either base your, you know, financial foundation upon, or just diversify into, you know, if you have a chunk of $80,000 that you're looking to put into VTSAX or some index fund, or put 40% down on a townhouse in Laurel, Maryland, you know, like that is an absolutely viable option. Just because there are no, you know, smack you in your face, 20% down, $300 a door deals currently available in the US that I'm aware of, doesn't mean that you can't put 40, 45, 50 or more percent down and cash flow several hundred dollars a month while also getting the other profit centers of real estate. So it is absolutely a viable option. And those are super competitive offers. You know, as a buyer's agent, you know, when I put those down and the listing agency is 50% down on a $300,000 townhouse, we win those 9 out of 10 times because they know they're strong buyers. You know, their credit scores are good and they know they're going to close. Like I say, they're going to close. So I think that is absolutely a discussion to have, you know, like consider if you have a savings account or if you have a, quote unquote, too big of a portion of your assets in an index fund or an after-tax brokerage, consider, you know, at least having that conversation of would this better serve our personal goals to move this chunk of money over and put 50% down on an investment property? And there's always the conversation you can have where, you know, if you do the 50% at 8% interest, you know, 6 years down the road, you can refinance out of that at 3%. It won't be 3%, but let's say 6%. If it's 3%, that'd be awesome. But, you know, 5.5-6% and pull that chunk out and reinvest into something else, there's always that to do too. So I think I'm seeing that a lot. You know, like this one I went under contract on is putting 35% down. Like normally, you know, as investors, we're like, how can we get in for as cheap as possible? That's not always the strategy. You know, like if you can put together, if you have funds available to put more down and give you more cushion on a month-to-month basis, on a go-forward basis, then that's a very good play.
Yeah, absolutely. And it just brings me back to the idea that you have to like stay current with your own plans, with your own strategy, reevaluate repeatedly and update. And just say, hey, well, here's what's going. Here's what's going to work. Here's how we're going to adjust. And the adjustments that you make right now are going to be for a period of time. And then you're going to need to adjust again. So it's a continual process. And again, I mean, I know I've said this before, but it's partly what I like about real estate. And again, there's totally passive ways to get into real estate and just put your money in a syndication or something like that. But I kind of like the ongoing strategy side of having a portfolio of single families and small multifamily homes.
Yeah, no, I completely second that. I think it's really fun, you know, and you and I talk about the fun of this business all the time. It's just different. It's a different animal than just, you know, index fund investing. And I'm not trying to pick on anything else that I can think of, you know, like you can really make moves and pivot and make things work better just by staying in touch and keeping track. And now's a great time to do that, you know, as you're kind of setting your goals or not setting your goals in my case for the new year, but setting up habits, doing your end of year finances, you know, take a deep look. You know, if you're not actively looking to buy deals, take a deep look at what your current portfolio is doing. If you don't have a portfolio yet, get those things set up in place for when you do buy a property and learn more about it. Have a conversation with us, you know, listen to podcasts, read books, talk to lenders, talk to these folks that have time on their hands right now to really educate yourself and be ready. You know, it's all about comfort and being more comfortable when you pull the trigger on your first property.
Yeah. Well, this has been educational, Tim. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Lisa. I'm glad you appreciate it. I feel like I, you know, this isn't like a straightforward do this, but I think these are things to think about. And I think it's all about just thinking about things differently. And just, it's fantastic. You know, the older I get, the more mindset focused I get, because it really is everything. You know, like in a quote unquote tough market where deals aren't falling from trees anymore, you just have to set your mindset to understand that and see what you can do to overcome those obstacles. And I think talking to folks and educating yourself is step number one.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. And I also really appreciate you sharing your updates on the flip and what's going on there, because that's a new project for you and just kind of fun journey to share with folks too. So all of it.
No, that, I mean, that's a pivot,
good
right?
Good stuff. Yeah, love it.
That's a pivot. That's just one of those things where, you know, if sales slow down in real estate and, you know, people aren't buying as many investment properties, then what can I do in my own personal portfolio? Well, I got this friend that wants to flip too. Let's go flip a house. You know, like how much more hands-on can you get in learning that process? And we have investors to back us up and lenders that are willing to lend us. Like, it's going to be a blast. I'm really excited.
Yeah. Very, very cool. When are we going to put out the invitation for everybody to come and work on the house in person?
Tomorrow, I hope. I'm going to call the listing agent after we get off here and see if he'll just go ahead and give us the house yet. But yeah,
wouldn't that be fun to have an REI concierge?
That would be amazing. That would be amazing.
Work day.
To all the folks that are here stateside, we expect you to bring Hammer and Gatorade and let's get after it.
Yes, that would be so much fun. We'll buy the pizza.
Who's my? Oh, yeah. REI concierge sponsor pizza. We can definitely do that.
Absolutely.
For my Marylanders, we'll get some Litos. Show up, we'll get some free Litos. That's the place to be.
Nice. All right. Well, with that, we'll keep this one a shorter one today. We are really enjoying kind of coming into the end of the year, 2023. I'm still kind of trying to wrap my brain around the fact that it's the end of November. First of December on Friday. Seems this past year, I have this kind of dueling experience of feeling like it went by really fast, but also looking back to January and feeling like January of 2023 was a light year ago.
Yes. Yeah. Especially for so you. Just, you guys moving.
Yeah. The so move is much big. Just happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. So much has happened. So anyway. Yeah. All right. Well, apologies for my slow working brain and jet lag.
You, Lisa. You're in Burundi. It's you travel for 30 hours after running the entirety of the Grand Canyon. We'll give you a pass.
Thank you. I appreciate the kindness and the understanding. Oh my goodness. Well, thank you so much for listening to today's conversation on the REI Concierge podcast. As always, we would be totally honored if you would take time to leave us a review and share this with 7 friends. I'm tired today, so I can't give that high of a number. Just like 7. Fair. 7's a good number, right?
Yeah. It's lucky. Yeah. Biblical even.
It's yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Lucky, biblical, solid. You name it. All right. Until next time.
Happy real estate adventures.